Well, we once spoke about snow, so why can't we talk about rain? I suppose the next one will have to be about sunshine. I'm very honoured to see Mr. Joseph Senior here today. Well, everybody here today, but especially Mr. Joseph Senior. Nice of you to come. It's the month of April, so I thought, well, April showers, we're about to be getting a lot of rain now, and it hasn't quite worked that way, but never mind. You have in front of you an extract from Parshas Bereishis, which is just after the saga of Briyas HaOlam, of the creation of the world. And we've been through every day of the week, and we've had Vayechulu HaShemayim HaOretz V'Chol Tzevaom, and now in the second chapter, very near to the beginning, Pasuk Hey, V'Chol Siach HaSodon Terem Yevah Oretz, V'Chol Eisel HaSodon Terem Yitzmoch, Hashem had not yet sent any rain. Where was rain in the creation? It's not listed during the parasha relating to the first 6 days. Because man hadn't yet come to the situation where he would be working the ground, and there had been no rain. Why wasn't there any rain? Let's look in Rashi. Let's look at the third line down. Adayin lo haya ba'oretz. Kishenigma b'riyas ha'olam b'shishi. There had not yet been any rain. At the time Hashem created the world, on the sixth day, kodem shenivra adam, at the time before he had created man, because anything growing from the ground, whether it's been plants or vegetables or herbs or trees, had not yet sprung from ground level. But on the third day we learnt, Shekosav HaTotzar Etz Deshe. It said there that Hashem created all these things of growth. Lo Yotsu, but they didn't come out from the ground. Elo Al Pesach Karka Omdu. They just were standing ready to sprout at the opening of the ground, Ad Yom Shishi, until the end of the sixth day. Why? V'loma Lohim Tir. Why is it that there had been no rain yet? Well, my time alone here, why is it? What's the reason? Because man had not yet come to work the ground. And he had not yet come to recognize the goodness of having rain. Odom came about. And he had the chokhmah to realize that rain was a necessity for the world. So he davened to Hashem that there should be rain. And then the Yoradu, and then the rain came down, the Tzomchu Elonos Hadashoim, and then the trees and plant life grew. That is the order of creation. Vatotzaris Deshe was the third day Hashem created the trees and plants, but they were not actually standing above ground level. They were ready to sprout underneath ground level. And when Odom was created, he recognized with Chochmah that we need rain, so he davened for it, and then they all came up. Sorry? So, the interesting thing about this is that Hashem likes to hit tefillah. He wants davening. And you don't get anything without davening. So the message there is, don't think everything's put in your plate. Put on your plate. Hashem makes the world for you. Very nice world to live in. La'ovdo l'shomra. But you have to daven for what the real sustenance is. Because without the rain, would the world have been able to function at all? Without the rain, you wouldn't have the rain cycle, you wouldn't have growth. Without rain, we wouldn't have plant life, we wouldn't have vegetables to eat. And the animal kingdom would not be able to feed from the ground. And all kosher animals live off the ground. So you wouldn't be able to eat meat, you wouldn't be able to eat fish, because the rain would be feeding the seas and the rivers. So without that rain, the whole of life cannot be sustained. Now we can't really appreciate this in a country like England, where we got so much rain, and we need to do drainage, whereas other hot countries have to do irrigation. But what is the lesson here? Most interesting of all, is that because the Briyas HaOlam did not properly finish until the rain came down, that means that Briyas HaOlam is still continuing, day by day, week by week, month by month. Without the rain nowadays, that Briyah would not be continuing. So we say that every single day, I'm a chadash patua b'cholya and tomid ma'ase bereshis. Hashem renews his ma'ase bereshis, his creation every single day. All right, you might not get rain here every single day, but if you're in Manchester, you will. And the idea is that the whole of the Bria is not just in those 6 days, but it's continuing until now and forevermore, without which the Bria would stop. Because without rain, nothing would happen here. So, as a point of emunah, as something which we understand Hashem to be the sole force in governing and maintaining the world, it's not simply that Hashem created the world in 6 days. It means that He is creating the world day by day, and the rain is the tool by which He is demonstrating that without His chesed in providing it, we would not have the world to live in. That's just by way of an introduction. So we say Mashiv Barachim Reinav Goshem when we come to the end of Sukkot to Shmini Atzeres. We don't want to say it's earlier because we're sitting in the Sukkah. But Mashiv Barachim Reinav Goshem is not really a bakosho. It's not really asking for rain. It's a shvach. It's a praise to Hashem that He gives rain. And it's within the first three brachas of the Shemona Esra where we are praising Hashem. And later on in the bracham of Arich HaShonim, Baruch Aleinu, we ask for rain, or almost at different times, but we'll discuss that. We say the same Talmud Moson Ibrocha al Panei Adomo. That is actually saying, please give us the rain. Although it's interesting that the Aruch HaShulchan points out that the Bracha Mechalka Chaim Mechesed, which includes Mashiv Barachim Reinav Goshem, has 51 words which is not please. We're saying, please, can we have rain? But there is that difference between the Mashiv Baruch and the same Talmud Moson. And you might ask, why is it that the bracha of rain is put, that the shvach of rain is put in the bracha of Mechaya Mesim? Alright, it's Mechalka Chaim Bechesed, which Hashem is sustaining life, but we end off that paragraph with Baruch Ato Hashem, Mechaya HaMesim. What has rain got to do with the resurrection of the dead? Any offers? So there are, before Hashem will explain that just like Chiyas HaMesim is an idea of permanence in life, of Chaim La'olam, so also water is Chaim La'olam. It evaporates, but it comes back to water again, and there is a cycle, and then it's a continuous idea which sustains us. In addition, Chiyas HaMesim is a yasod of emunah. It is a foundation of our faith. And in the same way, Bria Sa'olam is a foundation of our faith, and as we've just said from this Rashi, that the Bria is something which is continuous.
So you just said, because without rain we can't live without water.
That's right, we have the rain, which gives us life, and that gives us, and leads us to Tchiyas HaMesim. So we start saying Mashiv Barachim Reinav Goshem at Musaf on Shemini Atzeres. Why Musaf? With the same Talmud motto, we start in the Maariv, 4th or 5th of December, which is 60 days after the autumn equinox, allowing for adjustments with the Gregorian calendar. But the Mashiv Barachim Reinav Goshem is Shemini Atzeres. Why don't we start with Maariv the night before? Well, the Yerushalmi says not everybody's in shul for Maariv, and we want everybody together when we start. And in Shachris, you can't be Machris, you can't announce at Shachris, because we don't want an interruption between God Yisrael and the Shemona Esra. So the best time is Musaf, and people are more alert and more awake, and everybody's in the shul, says the Baal Amor, so we start it with Musaf.
In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, when there were korbanos, but wasn't the Musaf tefillah,
yeah, but there was the Mashiv Barachim Reinav Goshem, we still had the mitzvah of Sukkah, and it would have been a ganai to have a Mashiv Barachim Reinav Goshem when we're sitting in the Sukkah. There is also the mystical idea, and Tosfos bring at the beginning of Tanis, Daf Beis, quoting the Gemara Sukkah, Kaf Ches Amud Beis, that through all the Chagim we try to avoid rain. So we don't have Mashiv Barachim Reinav Goshem during Pesach, because we've stopped basically on the first day of Pesach. Shavuos we don't have Mashiv Barachim Reinav Goshem, so on Sukkot we don't have Mashiv Barachim Reinav Goshem, because the rain, it is written on the Chagim, is a bad sign. We want to have sunshine.
Would there have been any prayer, I mean, a special korban or something, or did it only come in after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the korbanos were replaced?
Well, no, the Ola L'Regel, the Ola L'Regel took place for all the three Chagim, and the prayer for the Saint Harumoto was Chazal Masakein, that we start saying it in Eretz Yisrael 2 weeks after the end of Sukkot, not straight away. So not on Sukkot, not 2 weeks after, because we wanted to give time to everybody to get home to their far out places in time before we ask for rain. It's not nice to ask for rain while people are still on the journey. We'll come back to that in a moment, because you know the obvious question is that nowadays with an egg is thus, you'll get home in one day. But we'll come back to that. So we say the word for Geshem in the Bracha of Merinah Goshem, and we say Talu Motar in Baruch Aleinu, and there is a subtle difference between Geshem and Motar, which is brought by various Mephoroshim. The Malbim says that Geshem is a natural result from evaporation, but Motar is the Hashkocha with the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which comes down at the time when we need it. Often we get rain when we don't really need it. So the Bracha in Geshem is not necessarily when you need it, but Be'itom is at the time when you do need it. And Motar is, says the Malbim, a lotion of Yerido and a follow, falling, that it should come nicely. He says that Motar comes with strength, the Koach. And there's a Pasuk in Iyah, Matoros, Uzo, Anochi Mamtes Oret, Vashem Himtir Al Sodom. So it comes down heavily. Whereas with Geshem, it comes down benachas. It's more with drizzle. Vayyah Geshem ala oret. Abroim yom abroim laila. He says there is a difference between Geshem and Motar.
Drizzle.
Well, it's more slow and not so much with force. The Aruch HaShulchan says that Geshem is something which is higher up, and the clouds are lower down with Motar. It's Somuch la'oret. Now, we start the same Talu Motar. Either the Mishnah says in Tanis, it says that you start the same Talu Motar after Sukkot 2 weeks later. Well, there's one opinion, Gimel Cheshvan, another one, Zayin Cheshvan. Rabban Gamliel says Zayin Cheshvan, and we paskenike him 2 weeks later, because it takes people 2 weeks to get home from the Ola L'Regel, from the Beis HaMikdash. But in Chutz Laretz, everywhere else, it says that you say it from 60 days after the autumn equinox, which we start on the 4th or 5th of December. Now, the question is asked, why is it that if we're worried about the people who are travelling on the road, why not stop 2 weeks before Pesach? If it takes 2 weeks to get home and people are on the road, well, surely then they're coming before Pesach in the rainy season to Yerushalayim. Why should we be saying the same time and water in that time? Is there not a conflict of ideas here? Why are we davening that way up to and including Pesach? I found a number of answers to that in the Mevakshei Torah. One is, we don't want to stop the rain completely. Rain is a siman bracha. Once it's in motion, you don't want to say, please stop. And then you're saying Mashiach and Radar Goshem as well till Pesach, which is a separate idea. We don't want to stop saying Mashiach and Radar Goshem. So to be consistent, we carry on with the same Tanu Motar up to Pesach. Another answer I found, which is perhaps more balabatish, is that when people are coming before Pesach, they're dressed in their winter clothes. They're warmly dressed. They know that they're still in the bad weather. So when they come to Yerushalayim, they're well prepared for it. They'll wrap up the children properly. And so they're not so worried about the rain. People still go out when it's raining, you know, or in the rainy season. So people will go to Yerushalayim and they'll wrap up well. But at the end of Sukkot, they came without thinking to Yerushalayim in their summer clothes before Sukkot. They're coming home less well equipped, without all their boots. So we have Rachmanas on them, and therefore we stop saying the same Talmud Motar, or we delay saying the same Talmud Motar till they get home. The third reason I've come across is that when you're coming to Yerushalayim before Pesach, you're coming for a mitzvah. You're coming for Ola L'Regel, there's a Mesiras Nefesh, you've closed up the shop early, and you get a schar for coming because you're coming for a mitzvah. When you're going home after Sukkot, you're not travelling for a mitzvah anymore. You're going home! And so you need a bit of chizuk, you need a bit of help that the rain doesn't come down then. Whereas well, on your way during Pesach, you don't care if it rains because you're so eager to come to Yerushalayim to do the mitzvah. Another answer I've come across is, well, you'll be praying all winter anyway for rain, and it's still the rainy season, so it's not going to make a lot of difference if you stop just before. And Rav Hillel Cohen writes that whereas we're all going home at the same time straight after Sukkot, once Sukkot is over, okay, pack up and go. Beforehand, before Pesach, not everybody comes at the same time, because some people are more eager than others, some want to come in advance of their family to get the self-catering let ready, and to schlep the stuff for the freezer. So people come earlier, there's a staggered sort of travelling. So he says, they all return together, but they all come at the same time together. And the other thing is, he says, it's not right to cut something short. The rain is a bracha. We don't want to cut it short. But if we're just delaying it, okay, we can delay the request. So we start the same time of Motta. So why 2 weeks? It takes 2 weeks to get home. Yes, it used to take 2 weeks to get home to all the different four corners of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there was a delay of 2 weeks. So what will happen in the future? There's Mancha Beis HaMikdash Kayom with the third Beis HaMikdash B'mehevi Omeinu, where people will be able to come along in faster forms of transport to Yerushalayim and come home, although it'll probably have a congestion charge in Yerushalayim, and there might be a car-free zone there. Nevertheless, there will undoubtedly be methods of transport with which we could get home earlier. And I was taught by Rav Shimon Weiss, he said there's no reason why a Sanhedrin can't change the law. Because since it's not based on a posuk in the Torah, it's not based on any particular din midaraisa, Chazal wa masakan, based on the circumstances prevailing at their time, and there's nothing to stop a Sanhedrin in the future saying, well, we'll start the same Talmud Motta just a day or two later afterwards. But then the question is this, why is it in Chutz Loretz that we're starting the same Talmud Motta much later than Eretz Yisrael? We're starting it in December. So the reason is given because that's the time when we need rain most. Eretz Yisrael is a very hot country and is a dry country, so they need rain straight away, straight after Sukkot. But later on, it's different because other countries don't need it so much till December. Now, you've got in front of you Perish HaMishnayos of the Rambam. And if we look at the large paragraph, and this is based on two Mishnahs, Ademos Asholim and Sakut Shomim. Until when do we ask for rain? We know the answers now to that. And then Bishlosha Macheshvan, the Mangalil says Bishuba Macheshvan, we ask for Saint Talmud Motta. So if we just read the second half of that, look at the fourth line, in the middle of the line, Aval Bishar Aratos. But in other countries, Asholim is Mansha Motta Tova Hogu. We ask for rain at the time when it's good for us. But Osa Mokum in that particular place. So that time is given as the 7th of Cheshvan. If the rain doesn't come by such and such that time, then we start davening and we start fasting. There are countries. There are some countries in the world where the rain doesn't start till Nisan. He's obviously talking here about the southern hemisphere. That when Cheshvan starts, it's summer. And rain is not good for those countries at those times, because that's when the rain might spoil the produce. It can actually ruin the crops. How can such people ask for rain in Macheshvan? It would be perverse, he says, to ask for rain at the time when your own country doesn't want it, where it might be causing harm.
So when does Australia do it?
Well, I'm coming to that. That's the Shaila. When does one say the same Talmud Motta in Australia? And there are poskim who write about Australia and about Brazil and about Uruguay. But before we come to that, let's have a look at the Rambam on the next page. Because the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Beis, seems to contradict what he said in the Perish HaMishnayos of the Rambam. Because in the Perish HaMishnayos, he was saying, look, the same Talmud Motta really goes according to your country. When I was a child already, I asked, why is it that we're asking for rain in such a rainy country like England? And I was told, because we're davening for Eretz Yisrael. And Mashi Baruch Hamrein HaGoshim really relates to Eretz Yisrael, but the same kind of motto, from the way the Rambam is writing, doesn't relate to Eretz Yisrael. It relates to the country in which you find yourself.
The Gemara says
that. Well, they knew about Africa.
Yeah, but not Southern.
They didn't know about America, maybe, or Australia.
They must have known that if you lived on the other side of the world, they worked it out. We mustn't underestimate the Chochmah which Chazal had.
We'll be dealing with the Chochmah of Chazal in our next topic. In Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Beis, if you look at Tes Zayin, Meshiva Yomim B'Macheshvan Shaolin Es HaGeshomim. So we ask from the 7th of Macheshvan for the rain B'Bichas Shonim, that's in the Baruch Aleinu, Kol Zaman Shemazki HaGeshem, when we're also talking about Geshem, V'Amed Ramah Morim Beret Yisrael. That applies in Israel. Abu Bishinah, Abu Surah, Abu Mitzrayim, in these outer countries, Abu Kemas HaSmuchas La'elu, elsewhere, Adorin and Shonis HaKshon B'Yom Shishim Acharitz Kuvas Tishri, we ask for the rain 60th day after the Tekufa of Tishri, which we said is December. And then he says, Mekomas Shein Tzrikin HaKshon B'Mos HaChamo. What about those places which need rain during the summer months? Kigon Iye HaYom HaRechokim, these far off islands, he says. They should ask for rain at the time they need it. In the bracha of Shema Koleinu, not in the bracha of Barech Aleinu. In Shema Tefillah, they should ask for rain. So we find here a seemingly a contradiction. Pardon?
What do they do when they don't need the rain, but everybody else in the Northern Hemisphere saying they want rain? They're contradictory.
Well, let's first things first. We had a Rambam here which said, you say in the Baruch Aleinu of the same Talmud Motzei Livracha, whenever it suits you, when it doesn't cause harm. But then he seems to change his mind as he comes to the Mishnah Torah, because there he's saying, when you vary it with the Shema Tefillah, not in the Nusach of Baruch Aleinu. The Baruch Aleinu is a takona, you say it from such and such time, and you want rain, other times you want rain in the months of May, June, July, then saying what you want in Shema Koleinu. The Kesef Mishnah discusses this apparent contradiction, and the Rosh looks at it in detail and clarifies it. The Rosh in his Tshuvas, in the 4th Chelek, Siman Yud, he says that the Rambam is talking about a difference between individuals and the whole country. In the case of individuals, then you say in the Shomea Tefillah. That's why he's talking about some far-off islands where there may be a number of individuals. That is what is meant by saying in the Shema Koleinu. But when you have a whole country, a large established community, then you will vary it. That is the view of the Rambam, and that is indeed the view of the Rosh. And the Rosh says, and I see no reason why in other countries, and he talks about Europe, he talks about in Spain they might need rain at other times. Therefore, you will say the same Tanu Motto when you need the rain, and you won't say the same Tanu Motto when the rain causes damage. So is the view of the Rosh. However, there are other Rishonim, such as the Ran, who disagree. And the view there is that you have a takana of Chazal. Chazal said you say the same Tanu Motto at such and such a time. And this is really the way the Rambam is going. When you want rain, okay, ask for rain, but ask for it in Shema Koleinu, in Shema Tefillah. And that's the fit place to say it. So the question arose regarding Australia to a number of poskim. The Betzela Chochma writes about it in Chelek Vov, Perek Pei Hei. He was a rabbi in Australia for many years. He was the brother of the Debochina Rov, the Rav Betzalel Stern. And he quoted a psak which was given by Rav Nosson Adler, who was the chief rabbi of England at the time of Queen Victoria, who was asked by the first Jews who were settling in Australia, when should we say the same Talmud Motor? And he quoted this Rosh, and he said, look, it's no good asking for rain when you've got summer, because in certain parts of Australia, certainly, I believe Western Australia, the rain is said to ruin the crops if it comes down in the summer season, which is in November, December, January. So he said to them, don't say the same Talmud Motor at all in those winter months. But he also said, don't say it in the summer either, because there's a Takana of Chazal then. So you say it in maybe in the Shema Kolenu. So he says, you will never say in Australia the same Talmud Motor. And then the view came about to do the custom just like Europe. Say the same Talmud Motor, just like Europe do. The Beis Yosef actually writes about this in Siman Kuf Yud Zayin, Dibur Moskel Avol. He says, even if you say by mistake in the summer, and you need the rain in the summer, you should still go back. Why? You should say it again. The Taras Nadova, because there is a bit of a sophic. Why? Because, he says, Chazal made a takona, and they made the takona primarily for Eretz Yisrael and the surrounding countries, and it's not for us to go starting chopping and changing until we have another Sanhedrin. So the question came up also to Dayan Weiss in his Minchas Yitzchok in Chelek Vov, Kuf Ayin Aleph, in Brazil, and there were many Jews who came to Brazil from Syria some 50 odd years ago, and the question there was the same one. And he also quotes the Tshuvas HaRosh, but he says, keep to the way Chazal were masakin it. There is a Sefer HaChaim, Sefer Taras Chaim, which he quotes, which is quoted also by the Eish Lavrom, which is a long time ago. And this is brought down by the Shevet HaLevi, who says, yes, say the same Talmud Motor in the summer. Rav Vosne Bnei Brak says, yes, say the same Talmud Motor in the summer, but the Minhag seems to have prevailed according to the Psak of Rav Shmuel Salant, who was the Abbeis Din Yerushalayim, saying, unless it actually damages your crops, say the same Talmud Motor. But if it's not damaging your crops, then fine.
I heard a similar situation with the Birchus Eilonis, where we say it in Nissan, and I think they ruled, in Australia, it would be a different time zone.
Yeah.
So I think that the San Francisco was saying that you should say...
Well, that's
but it won't be Nissan prime time.
Yeah, but our prime time is Nissan, but it's not so much. If you do miss Nissan, there are possibilities to say you can say it afterwards.
Yeah, but here we're talking about completely different.
It's a different time of the year. So when you're in Australia, you'll say it at the time when you see the blush.
So the same reason I would have thought should apply.
Yeah.
You can't say the bracha on Milano's because Milano's from Europe. You
have to see it in front of you. They've got fruit trees there. Yeah, do you say it when you see the new fruit? The story is told of Rav Moshe Schwab, who many people here might remember. He was a Mashgiach in Gotzid Yeshiva. And when he was a young man, he wasn't sure what he was going to do for his future. He came from a very Yekish background, and of course pressure was applied on him. Torah and Derech Eretz, you have to earn a livelihood and go to work. And he wasn't sure what to do, and his grandfather appeared to him in a dream. Some say it wasn't that his grandfather appeared to dream, but he asked the Shaila, but the story I heard was his grandfather appeared to him, and his grandfather said to him, say with Kavona, Mashiv Haruach, Umarid Hagoshem. And he understood this straight away to mean, Ruach is Ruchnius, Mashiv Haruach, get round and display and give out the ruchnius to everybody, and if you do that, Merit HaGosh, and then the Gashmius will come to you on your plate. And so that's why he started his life off as a Mashgiach, and he was a very successful one at that. There's an interesting Emes LeYaakov, Rav Kamenetsky, who writes in connection with the Sphira in which we are now in. He quotes a Midrash Rabbah in Bereshis, Parshat Tzadi Zayin, which talks about the fish, the Yitzgul Arov, the Kerev Oretz. He says, when fish see the rain coming down, they jump out of the water to swallow the raindrops. Now he says, why should the fish want to jump out to swallow raindrops? They've got as much water as they need. They're in the huge sea.
It's salty.
And it's salty. They want to change. Fed up with McDonald's. Less polluted, maybe. And they're worried about climate change and global warming. But the question simply is, why are the fish going for the raindrops when they've got as much water as they want? Anyway, the answer is he gives in a more spiritual way, not a physical way. He says, because what was the problem with the Omer, with all the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who died? That they didn't give cover to each other. There was a certain degree of cover between them. Talmidei Chachomim they were. They were great men. 24,000 pupils of Rabbi Akiva died in the Sefira. They didn't give cover to each other when each one said a chiddush to the other. They didn't really pay attention to it. They felt like they got their own learning to do, and they weren't bothered about sharing with others their chiddushim and their encouragement to others, which was dibuk chaver in one of the 48 ways of acquiring Torah. And so the Talmidim died. They were immersed in Torah day and by night. They were in the water like the fish. But they should have been behaving like the fish to swallow up also those droplets of water, those words of Torah, water, Torah is compared to water, which others were giving them. Because they failed to do so, they were punished. We say in the Shia Malos, Shuvah Hashem es Shavisenu ka'afikim ba'negev. Hashem should return to us our Geula, like the Afikim of the Negev. When it rains in the Negev, Afikim, it rains extremely hard, extremely powerfully, and extremely quickly it comes down. And that is the way our Geula should come to us, with as fast a rain as possible. B'mprevi Amenu Amen.